Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I have a rather large window in my office that I have intentionally chosen to keep uncovered. No blinds, no curtains, anything like that. Thankfully, the nice live oak tree out front gives plenty of shade from the heat of the afternoon sun. But the window offers a great view of outside, as cars pass by on Maybank Highway, or as quite often they're stopped in traffic on Maybank Highway. I can look out, and I look out toward the west, and I can see storms building and moving into the area. I can see the family of cardinals that lives very nearby and hunt for insects in the bushes. I can hear all kinds of birds singing, chirping. It really is nice to have such a large open window right there, though I can only see so much from the window. I can't use all of my senses to get the fullness of what is outside. And depending on where I'm standing or sitting, the view can be quite limited. In order to get the fullness of what the outside has to offer, I have to actually step outside, be able to use all of my senses to step outside, feel the sunshine or the humidity, hear the fullness of all the songbirds, feel the wind or the rain, the warmth or the cold. The window gives a glimpse of the outside, but not the full reality. And if covered, the view is even more concealed. We can take this window behind me as another example. We can look out this window right now and see the oak tree right there, and it fills the entirety of that window. But if I were to draw these curtains all the way back, we see a lot more that's going on out there. We see 30 soccer players. We see the field. We see the baseball field. We see a playground. See a lot more when the window's fully open. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Scripture tells us, of course, that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a very learned man. He was a godly man. He was a religious leader in Jerusalem. And he has clearly seen, or at least heard of, the miracles that Jesus has begun to perform. And he acknowledges that surely Jesus is a man from God by making that statement under the cloak of darkness. We know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. So through miracles, many times miracles are referred to as signs in the Gospel of John, Jesus has begun to reveal his glory. And his glory will be fully realized when he is lifted high upon the cross. Well, the full reality of God, of who God is, of what God does, of how God operates, is being opened for the reader of Scripture. When we read John chapter 3, we begin to see this fullness of God, who he is for us, how he operates within us and through us. It's also being revealed to Nicodemus. It's also being revealed to all of those who are afraid to get to know Jesus in a personal way, who might want to come to Jesus under the cloak of darkness. And then the additional reality that we begin to see here in John chapter 3 is the fullness of the triune God. It's being opened for us. God the Father has sent the Son with the power of the Spirit. Nicodemus believes that surely God has sent Jesus and God is with Jesus, but he does not understand the fullness of what that means, or the fullness of what he's seeing. The curtain hasn't been completely opened. Nicodemus is looking out the window with a very limited view. It's a great start, but not there quite yet. Again, this is where we begin to see that fullness of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus has not only come from God, but Jesus is God. God is not only with Jesus, God is Jesus. Jesus is God. And then Jesus' next words to Nicodemus are a striking, poetic, and bold, and true sentiment of the centrality of the triune God. The Father is present, sending His only begotten Son into the world so that the world might be saved through Him. The Son is present, offering His own life, being lifted up like a serpent in the wilderness so that everyone who believes will have eternal life. And the Spirit is present, granting new birth. People are being born from above through water and the Spirit. We begin to see the glory of God as being fully revealed through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit in this brief encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. And in that, we are invited. The reader is invited to trust the gracious works of God in transforming this world in which we live through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Spirit. In that great work of the Spirit, the unification of repentant believers. It's the greatest work of the Spirit that we are gathered here today to worship the triune God. Today is Trinity Sunday. And although because we are mortal and we have finite minds, we only get glimpses of the triune God, the window is fully opened in Scripture. The curtains have been drawn back, the blinds are removed, and in actuality, we can use all of our senses. We can touch, taste, feel, smell, and see the reality of God, the reality of the triune God, and the mighty work in our lives, both as individuals and, more importantly, as the gathering of God's people, as the faithful believers in the authority of Holy Scripture. Faith in God is outside of self. It is outside of me. And we see our true self in the reality of the work of the Trinity. What has been done, what is happening, and what will take place. And this congregation over the last 2 years has experienced a mighty work of God. You all have been faithful and resilient and adaptable. All incredible, mighty works of God. This 290-year-old congregation has been experiencing a rebirth by the Spirit. We've been celebrating baptisms, weddings, confirmations. We had our largest confirmation class last year than we have had in 6 years. And this year, the class is going to be almost as big. New members coming, people coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, windows being made clear and doors being opened. The pathway of righteousness being enlightened by the miraculous grace of our God. And beloved, the Lord has filled our lives. Again, as individuals, but more importantly, as a body, with moments. With moments. With glimpses of glory. Windows of the triune God, which together reveal the gracious beauty and powerful mystery of the Trinity. So when we read the story of Nicodemus, this very brief story, when we read the story of Nicodemus in Scripture, we are invited then to stop, to slow down, to stop, to take notice of those moments, of those times, to think about them, to pray about them, and to pray through them. And therefore, we live into the glory of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, despite hardships and trouble or stress or anxiety or illness or divorce or financial mistakes or any other attacks of Satan. And here's a good final reality for us today as we celebrate something that we cannot fully grasp. The triune God is reclaiming his kingdom and redeeming all things, especially you and me. The good news of Jesus Christ has a distinctly and inescapable Trinitarian shape. Theologian Alistair McGrath has said before that God is both the goal of our journey and the means by which we find him. God is both the goal of the journey and the means by which we find him. St. John's Parish Church, brothers and sisters, beloved, the Lord is doing a mighty work in and through us that will have a lasting impact on generations. And I hope that you see that. I pray that you pray in and through all of that every day, through the good times and through the difficult times. The triune God has called each one of us to be here at this time for a very specific reason: to worship, to pray, to break bread, to fellowship, and to build his kingdom together. May God's work continue to uncover all of the windows in each of our lives. Amen.
Sky and sea. Holy, holy, powerful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. You are God in three persons, blessed Trinity.